Hello, hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Power Up in Game. I'm your host, Michael, and joining me, as always, is my main man, Taylor. Taylor, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I am doing pretty good. It is, at the time of this recording, the second or third day of free agency. I don't remember. Time has no meaning anymore. For the NFL season, and my Dolphins are going through it, but you know what? I've liked the moves we've made so far. Michael, I wanted to bring this up because you're a Cowboys fan, and if you are a football fan, anyone listening, the Cowboys are the only team in the NFL that has yet to make a move in free agency, which I find both funny and sad.
Yeah, you're sad about your Dolphins. Bro, I already knew the offseason was going to be crazy, but man, Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants, Kirk Cousins is leaving the Vikings. Where was he going? I forgot what they were sending Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins going to the Falcons.
The Falcons, yeah, that's right. He's going to the
Falcons. Insane.
On a three-year deal, I think.
Yeah, insane. I like Kirk Cousins, but that is an insane deal. Quarterbacks get paid a lot.
That's money. A weird move. Yeah, Russell is going to the Steelers
for not a lot of money. Compared to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, because the Broncos still have to pay him his 37.
Yeah, they're paying him all that. And I only wanted to bring it up just because it's crazy. I'm not having all, like, I'm liking the moves the Dolphins are making, but we've lost two players with Christian Wilkins and Andrew Van Ginkle that I really liked, so that sucks. But I wanted to mainly bring it up because you were a Cowboys fan and just seeing all the players leave your team and everybody the NFL community just going like, all right, Cowboys, everybody else has done something. Are you guys going to get into this, or do you know it's free agency right now?
Oh, according to Jerry Jones, we're going all in. So yeah. If this is what all in looks like, I don't like it.
I can bring this back around to power up in game here for some gaming stuff. It's like when you go up on like a Todd Howard presentation with Fallout 76. It just works. Just lying to gamers' faces. That's what Jerry Jones did here. He was like, Cowboys fans, we're going all in, all right? Doesn't feel like it.
All into the dump, maybe.
What would be the gaming equivalent of being a Cowboys fan?
The equivalent of being a Cowboys fan is being excited for something like Redfall that has potential and could be something awesome, and then when it releases, it's just pure shit.
Yeah. I would say that, or like, being a fan of something from like franchises that EA owns or Ubisoft owns, and just being like, maybe this is the time they turn it around.
Yeah.
And they don't, and you're like, man, why did I even get my hopes up? And then there's another announcement, and you get your hopes up again.
Yeah. Or it's like Starfield, where you're excited, and when you see it, like you play it, it's like, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Or after a while, you're just like, this isn't as good as I thought. Yeah. So it's kind of like that.
So, anybody listening, let us know what's the gaming equivalent of the Dallas Cowboys right now, or the gaming equivalent of your favorite NFL team.
Stop picking on my Cowboys.
Sorry. But I say let's go ahead and get into our show here today, man. And I'm going to go ahead and get into our disclaimer so you can get right into our stories of the week. Real quick, listeners, we just want to say that you can find sources for all the topics we're going over today down in the description of this episode. We do that to give out proper credit, and if anyone wants to read further about the topics we cover. Also, it's important to note that you should always take rumors or reports we cover with a grain of salt until they are officially confirmed or denied. Of course, some reports and rumors will be more reliable than others, but nothing is 100% in the gaming industry until it is properly announced. And sometimes, even then, it might get canned in the future. Lastly, we are just two dumb idiots who love video games and love talking about video games. These are just our opinions. They do not necessarily reflect the opinions of anyone on our team or over at the Nerd Stash. We'd love to hear your thoughts on everything we'll discuss today, but please just try to remain respectful. I love how that last bit in the disclaimer kind of feels like we have these crazy outlandish opinions. Really not, but still, I felt like it was a funny bit to put in the disclaimer.
Yeah, it's like insurance. You know, you may not need it, but you may need it.
Just in case Michael has a crazy take one of these days.
Oh, which I will.
With that disclaimer out of the way, though, here are our stories of the week. Michael, take it away, man.
Alrighty, for our stories of the week, canceled Spider-Man the Great Web trailer has leaked online. We're not going to get too much into this one, but if you hang around section of the internet that delves into gaming leaks, you probably have seen a lot from Insomniac Games over the last few months. One of those leaks was about a multiplayer, seemingly live service, Spider-Man game that was ultimately canceled. You have played as your own Spider-Person along with apparently four other players in a multiversal kind of storyline. The reason why we're talking about this canceled game, which was called Spider-Man the Great Web, is because two trailers for it have leaked online. So we decided to watch them both and have a discussion about the whole story. Because what's better than talking about something that'll never come to fruition? So anyway, Taylor, I'm only joking there because honestly, if nothing else, this was an interesting premise for a game and it's fun to talk about what could have been. So what are your thoughts on the two trailers and what do you think this game could have worked? And do you think this game could have worked out for Insomniac and Sony?
We've talked for months now about live service games because of Suicide Squad and Helldivers and Pal World. There was another
Skull
one, wasn't
Bones.
There? Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones, yep. Just came out.
Skull and Bones. But we talked about all those games, and we kind of... I don't know what our official stance is on live service games at this point, because I feel like if it was a relationship status, for me, it would...
It'd be complicated.
For me in live service, it would be, it's complicated. Because some games, I feel like, handle live service pretty well. Some games do handle it pretty well, but then it falters down the road. Cough, cough, Destiny 2. And then some games just fall flat on their face at the beginning of their cycle. Cough, cough, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, and Skull and Bones. But with this, I gotta admit, I think it's because the combat that Insomniac has with Spider-Man is so fluid and it feels so refined. That I think this might have worked.
Well, I mean, maybe, but at the same time, like I can see it getting real dull real quick.
That is true.
Yeah, plus matchmaking, you have to deal with that, and the whole open world multi-universe thing that they had going on. Like, sure, it worked in Ratchet & Clank, where the SSD was able to pull off some pretty cool stuff, but when you have a bunch of spider people just zipping around the city going 600 miles per hour and AI and an open city and who knows how traversal will work between universes, I can see it not working out. But only because, you know, they're now relying on other players. And I can already see that just going completely downhill. Because the whole idea of a spider team is everybody working together, including combos. And how do you fit that with four or five players?
That was something that was peculiar to me. That in both trailers, it was five spider people. And I'm like, why five? Why is that the squad? You think it would be something like Destiny to where you'd have a trio at most. You know, maybe four at most. And I'm pushing it there. I feel like three would be the sweet spot. So I'm curious on what was Insomniac's goal, or what were they thinking with five as a squad? Were they thinking more like raids focused, Sinister Six kind of thing?
Well, Sinister Six, yeah, was a pretty big deal in the trailer.
Yeah,
but I don't think it was more like they were probably inspired by something like Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse, where it is more than just a two or three man team, where it was Peter and Miles and Gwen and Spider-Man Noir and Penny and Spider-Ham. Like, it was never just two or three of them. There was a group. So I think they want to do something close to Into the Spider-Verse where it was a group of spider people rather than like a trio.
Yeah. The one thing that is tripping me up is you have a lot of elements here that initially a lot of gamers, including myself, would go like, nah, I'm good. The live service stuff, you can already tell how monetization could have got out of hand if Sony wanted to go that route. Oh my goodness.
Every spider suit would cost like $20.
Yeah, the five players, you're like, okay, how was exactly what you were saying? Like, how would this work? But the main thing I keep coming back to is what I said earlier. I think the one thing that Insomniac has nailed, and what it looked like it was the case in these two leaked trailers, the combat just looks smooth, man. And I don't know. I think that's one of the things that games like Suicide Squad and Skull and Bones and even other games that have been live service over the past few years, like Avengers, have really struggled with, is finding that smooth, fun gameplay experience.
And see, that's going to be a thing. If you're going to do multiple seasons, I mean, that means you have to deal with storylines. And then, of course, you're going to have to drip feed new characters. And it's going to have to, I think it will have the same problems that Suicide Squad has, where it's, oh, I can't play as my favorite spider person because that season hasn't dropped yet, or, you know, they haven't put them outside of a battle pass or whatever, and I don't know how they're going to do the battle pass. And I think that might be the main reason why this game was dropped, was because if it was going to be live service, they had to put a whole lot into it.
Yeah, this was a game that was going to have a lot of resources.
Yeah, and Spider-Man 2 was already super expensive for Sony, so I think somebody looked at it and was like, yeah, we're gonna go ahead and steer away from the idea of putting $600-700 million into a live service. We're already putting $300-500 million into Spider-Man 2. So I think it might have just been a budget thing.
Yeah, and then you think, if this were to come out, when would it have come out? When would it have ever gotten announced? Would this have affected Spider-Man 3? Or any of the other projects that Insomniac is working on or rumored to be working on? Again, you can look up the leaks yourself. There's some other things that was there.
I don't think it would. I think if anything, it'll push towards Spider-Man 3. And I think that might have been the idea, was to have this multiversal thing that could have pushed into or hinted into the next storyline.
I don't know, man. The main quest of Spider-Man 2 and even the main side quest are really going towards a final confrontation with, I'm trying to leave out spoilers here, with the Spider-Man and another villain. So,
right. And the thing is, you also gotta remember, Sony is trying so hard to create this Spider-Verse.
I fucking hate
that
it.
They're doing.
I love the Spider-Verse movies, but man, with the stuff about like Sony and Spider-Man 4 and all the stuff with the Sony Spider-Man-less movies with Venom and Morbius and
Venom 3 is called The Last Dance.
Yeah, ooh, like all Madam that Web, stuff, yeah. I don't care. Whenever like Spider-Man 4 was rumored to be a street level movie with Daredevil and Kingpin, I was like, fuck yes. I love the Spider-Verse movies. Let Miles be your multiversal Spider-Man for right now. It's the main thing he's doing. It's clicking with audiences. Just run with that. It's working. Let the MCU Peter be the street-level hero.
Yeah, and guess who's the new Spidey for the Zomniac Game Spider-Man games? Miles Morales.
Yeah, it seems like that's the next generation there for the Insomniac Spider-Man future after... To me, after 3, not trying to get into too many spoilers there, but that's just the feeling I get. Which I'm fine with, too. It's just, I want Peter's story to be the focus of Spider-Man 3. And not it being a multiversal thing.
Yeah. And, you know, I do think that, yeah, the Spider-Man multiplayer game would have dwelled into that a little more, would have delved into that a little more. And I think they would have hinted more at Spider-Man 3 and the future of Peter Parker Spider-Man and Miles Morales Spider-Man, and how maybe the multiverse is going to change their roles between one another. Like, who knows what could have happened.
Yeah. And also keep in mind, again, this is a canceled game. So while we're speculating here what the story for this canceled game could have been, this might have been something to where Insomniac, when they were making Spider-Man 2, like, yeah, you know what? Like the multiverse, we don't like it that much to screw up our plans for the story. So the multiverse might not even be a big deal in 3.
Yeah, I hope so. And you notice that the portals were the exact same that looked like the exact same that was in Across the Spider-Verse.
They looked very similar, but also this was like I think it was said like they were concept trailers. So I guess they weren't completely refined yet. So maybe they were going to try to polish it up a little more to make it look exactly like it. But to me, they looked very close, but not exact replicas of those kind of portals. But you can tell that's what they're going for.
Yeah, which makes me think that maybe this was somebody at Sony saying, hey,
let's tie you guys got that together.
Spider-Man game. Hint, hint. Yeah, yeah. We really want to do our cinematic Miles Morales with the game Miles Morales, because they already had Insomniac game Spider-Man in Across the Spider-Verse, so technically it's already connected.
Yeah, it's all technically what Sony's going for with Across the Spider-Verse. Like, all this is connected for better or worse.
And we've already seen Insomniac game Spider-Man in there, so maybe this could have been a thing where they tied that together or have like a fun Easter egg about it. So maybe that's why the portals will kind of look the same. Cause maybe it's Peter coming back to Miles, like, hey Miles, I got this cool portal thing. And we're gonna try to hide you from Miguel because I don't want you to get mistaken for the other Miles Morales. So
yeah,
let's keep it between us, buddy. But that would just be a fun thing to do. I don't think that's what they were going for, but it would've been fun to see.
So how do you feel about this being, do you think it was the right move to cancel this? I think you kind of alluded to it earlier, saying it just, you would assume it would be too much resource wise for them to pour it into, and it would suffer in regards to the other Spider-Man games.
Yeah, I don't think it would be worth it, to be honest. Like, yeah, the trailer looked cool, but we've seen plenty of cool looking trailers that turn out to be just dull after like, what, 12 hours or a couple of days worth of playing. And I'm sorry, but sweeping around with all the spider people, man, you really have to buff up the enemies because everybody's just going to end up jumping Rhino or Scorpion. So it's just going to be a cluster of a thing to do. And plus, having all those people in one server, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how you're going to keep up with all that. Yeah. But yeah, I'm okay with it being canceled. Even when I was looking at the trailer, it was kind of cool. I was like, yeah, even if this was coming out, I wouldn't be looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think if this was coming out and they showed this trailer officially, this would have been a game where I would have came on the show and been like, I'm interested, but I want to see more. And as it stands right now, it's a game where there's some genuinely really cool ideas. It seemed like you were going to be able to create your own Spider-Person. That's awesome. We've all wanted to do that. To finally be able to do that in a video game sounds amazing.
And that's where the microtransaction comes in.
That's where the microtransactions will come in. And that's one of the cons to all this. The many cons to it, because it's live service. And we don't know how Insomniac/Sony would treat this live service. Considering how much money would get poured in, you would assume they would really try to monetize the hell out of it. But again, that's assuming. Maybe it would have been a live service more akin to Helldivers, to where it's more player-friendly, if that makes sense there. But there's also some things, like you were mentioning, the swinging around with your friends. Yeah, that's cool, but whenever we get 40 hours into the game, the swinging is going to continue to be cool because it's one of the best parts of Insomniac Spider-Man. But going around and defeating enemies with your friends, I don't know, man. I don't know what the sticking point to keep players around for months on end would have been. And again, we don't know how far Insomniac got here with this idea. So this is just all pure speculation.
And that could be what stopped Insomniac. Yeah, that's all what probably could have stopped them was like, hey, what are we going to do about end game? How are we going to do about grinding? How are we going to do leveling? How are we going to do the bosses? How are we going to do this and that? Like, maybe they had a cool concept because maybe Sony mandated that, hey, work on a multiplayer mode for us. And like, they had to come up with something. And eventually somebody's like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, but we don't know what we're going to do about seasons. We don't know what we're going to do about raids. We don't know what we're going to do about in-game. Like, we're not a multiplayer game, like a multiplayer company like that. Like, yeah, we have stuff like Ratchet & Clank with mini games and co-op and stuff like that. But we don't do live service games. We don't do games that take so much resources that you have single to do player it throughout adventures. The years.
Ratchet & Clank, Spider-Man, Wolverine is going to be action-adventure.
Ooh, Wolverine's going to be awesome. Yeah, and like I said, they do co-op. Like, they can do co-op. But man, doing a live service multiplayer is vastly different.
Yeah. And again, maybe they could have pulled it off, but I think this is something we could see and be like, yeah, that's cool. Maybe if you come with, like years down the line, you come out with something more refined. After the Spider-Man trilogy, the OG Spider-Man trilogy we have here is completed and all their spinoffs that got done, the Wolverine's out. Once that's all done, maybe I think everybody will be more excited if Insomniac decided to make a multiplayer Spider-Man game. But as it stands right now, if this got announced, I feel like it would have been I don't want to say train wreck, but it would have been a lot of people going, you already have so much on your plate. Why are you doing this?
Taylor, what if this was just a way for them to practice for an X-Men game?
Yeah. I mean,
because I can see X-Men being a live service game because there's so many mutants.
I'm not sure. I don't want to speak that into existence. I really don't. You're right. That's Avengers. The sad part. You're right, but I don't want to speak into existence. But are you ready to get into our other story of the week? Well, we got like four more to go, I think.
Alrighty. Here's something that you probably didn't think we were going to talk about. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds 2024 roadmap has been revealed. In a video and in a blog post, the dev team discussed the upcoming roadmap for PUBG in 2024. Here's an excerpt from the blog post. Quote, last year, we focused on advancing the Battle Royale experience across tutorial, normal match, ranked, and modes. Through this process, we discovered that introducing one or two new features could actually impact the core gameplay of PUBG rather than lowering the barrier or introducing a new playstyle. Therefore, in 2024, our focus is not on making the game easier, but instead on enriching the land, loot, survive sequence. Our aim is to offer enjoyment at different stages of the gameplay, allowing players to adapt and craft their own narratives even amidst repetitive gameplay, end quote. As for the details, PUBG is adding destructible environments, more frequent gameplay adjustments, and a move to Unreal Engine 5 and more. Taylor, what are your thoughts on PUBG still being relevant and having a big 2024 roadmap?
I'm really excited for this. This is very reminiscent to me on a smaller scale, mind you, because Fortnite is such a juggernaut of when Fortnite decided to retool. And we got that Fortnite 2.0, basically.
Which was awesome. And yeah. It got me into Fortnite.
And I think it was time, because Fortnite could have kept going as it was. And eventually, I think it just would have petered out. Instead, what they did is they were like, hey, we're going to have to bite the bullet at some point and just retool it all for a new generation. And they did. And I feel like that's the reason why Fortnite is still striving right now. And for PUBG, a game that's been so stagnant. Not bad, because I still enjoy PUBG from time to time whenever I re-download it and play it. But it's been stagnant. It's been that game to where whenever you get on it, you're like, yeah, this game came out a while ago. It looks rough, but it's still somewhat nostalgic and it's still fun. So for them to be like, hey, 2024, we're adding destructible map environments. That's freaking awesome on its own. They're moving to Unreal Engine 5. That's awesome. They're going to be having every 2 months, new game gunplay updates. That's a good idea. That's a lot of this is also what Call of Duty does, by the way.
Gross.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think you kind of need that to keep the balancing of the multiplayer alive, because it seems like they're also very keen on wanting to do more than just BR modes, including Team Deathmatch, which I think is a great casual experience, other than the Battle Royale. Like, it's something to ease the player in, to me, to the mechanics of PUBG.
Yeah.
So, I'm very excited for this, man. I think this is a fantastic idea. I was very optimistic going in, like, hearing, like, oh, man, there's the roadmap for PUBG 2024. I was excited for it, and after reading it, I am over the moon right now. I hope they can pull this off.
Over the moon? Oh, man. All right, well, as for me, yeah, I was into PUBG before Fortnite. I used to like PUBG a lot more. But you're right, it did get very stagnant, and it got to the point to where it just wasn't a very fun game to play. And I don't know if destructive environments is what this game needs, but hey, I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah, it's one of those things to where Battlefield really has dropped the ball with it, to the point to where whenever any yeah. game has it, you're like, you know, I'm not sure you necessarily needed it, but I appreciate it, so...
Yeah, please. Like, I welcome it. Like, yeah, I don't know if it's needed.
Bring it on.
It. Yeah. So hopefully they also make the game a little faster, because PUBG is pretty slow. I'm not going to lie. Even for me, I don't like super fast games anymore, which is why the newer Call of Duties I fucking hate, because it's nothing but, I don't know, Adderall, adrenaline, fueled Mountain Dew chugging Red Bull. Esports, and I can't do it.
Well, I can read a quote here from the blog post that may or may not, I haven't read through it all, but it may or may not answer your questions here. So there's a section called Survival Items, Character Actions, and Various Modes. We're thoughtfully focusing on enhancing the survival aspect of gameplay by adding items that facilitate transportation and looting over those with direct combat effects. In alignment with the essence of the Battle Royale genre, a variety of support items like the repair kit will be available as world spawn items. We recognize your desire for a wide variety of character actions, highlighted by features such as vehicle vaulting and utility parachutes. That's a good idea. Building on the momentum of introducing action elements like vehicle vaulting and co-op climbing, in our February update, we're excited to be developing even more content centered around dynamic actions. Additionally, we're exploring the intriguing possibility of portable zip lines, a concept we believe could add a captivating layer to gameplay, especially with well-thought-out limitations. For players looking for a lighter gaming experience beyond the high stakes of Battle Royale, we're committed to refining and expanding our special modes. The PvE mode, Survivors Left Behind, unveiled last Halloween, was warmly received for its role in diminishing the PvP's oft-felt frustration. Our goal is to continually enhance this mode, offering regularly quarterly updates to cement its place in the staple alongside TDM and Intense Battle Royale. So, I think this might actually answer some of your questions about, like, it being, is it going to still be pretty slow? Are you just going to labor around for 30 minutes until the game ends? And then you're like, oh, I got shot in the back of the head by somebody in a bush. It seems like they are going to try to quicken the pace a bit here with more transportation and zip lines and utility parachutes.
I'm always down for new traversal mechanics, so it is good to know that they are going to do something about how slow the game is, because it's a pretty big map, depending on where you go. It's a pretty big map, and the game, I don't mind that it's slow, but sometimes it feels a little too slow, because like you said, you spend all that time looting and traveling around just to get sniped by a bush. It gets kind of frustrating at times. So it's good to hear that.
Yeah, so I think adding a little bit of speed to the game for the player is going to really help as well, on top of everything we already talked about with the destructibility with it going to Unreal Engine, I'm curious to see how the game is going to be overhauled visually with that change.
Well, you know, I was thinking while we were reading the story, I was trying to think of another game that did the same thing that PUBG did. They decided to go to a brand new engine, and it just didn't work out for them. It also reminds me of The Culling 2, which was the game that pretty much made Battle Royale a thing in the video game space. It came out before PUBG, I believe. And when they tried to do The Culling 2, it just simply did not work out. I'm glad they're not doing PUBG 2. I'm glad they're not pulling Overwatch on us. But yeah, if this big move to a brand new engine and building things from the ground up, because they had to build things from the ground up if they're adding destructibility, it does concern me a bit.
Oh, it's a risk. Don't get me wrong. Like, this is kind of risky.
It's very risky, yeah.
But it could really pay off, because it's a thing where they could have, kind of like Fortnite, they could have just stayed how they are right now. They could have been middling a game that was always reliably good. You know what I mean? A reliably average to good experience. And instead, yeah, they're wanting to overhaul it so they can punch back up and go toe-to-toe with Fortnite again, it feels like.
So here's a question. Taylor, are you actually going to be downloading and playing this on day one?
Oh, totally. I mean, I kind of do this anyways with PUBG. I download it, play it, delete it, start the whole process again in about 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I do the same thing. I'll stop playing for a while, uninstall it, and they'd be like, man, I miss PUBG. Why did I stop playing? And then I'll like re-download it and play it again. Play
that it for is a little exactly while.
Like, yeah, this is PUBG. Yeah. Like, yeah, this is PUBG. And then stop playing it again, uninstall and do something else. So yeah, maybe this new 2024 roadmap would be exactly what it needs to get old players like you and myself back, and probably even playing longer than we've done before.
And I know it's also first person, but I think there's a market in the gaming space for a multiplayer third person game or a third person shooter. You know,
wait, PUBG can be third person.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know it's also first person though, but
oh, okay. Yeah.
I think PUBG could really strive in that third person shooter market and do a lot of the same things that Call of Duty does. So people like myself, that while I like Call of Duty, and I don't know why, just these days, I don't really care about first-person shooters. So
I think it's because there's been so many of them, it just got kind of stale for you.
Yeah, that's a reason. Honestly, this might sound weird, but I feel like it hurts my eyes more playing in first person.
I don't blame you, because everything is saturated now. Like, everything is brightened up so freaking much because you got to have those goofy ass looking costumes and skins, that you can't have everything dark like they were. Because before, Call of Duty used to be like brown and gray, and now they've added so much colors to the game. It's like, good god, man, I can see that clown halfway across the map. Like, it's literally a clown costume. And I think a lot of first-person shooters are doing that because, you know, I hate to say it, but Fortnite, you know, it wasn't the most colorful game before, but, you know, it helped populate it because populate the whole idea, because a lot of kids came to Fortnite because it was very colorful. A lot of adults went to Fortnite because we got sick of the brown and gray and the dog piss yellow. Like, we wanted something different. And now I think more first-person shooters are going like, hey, we need to add color to our games. We don't have to be this grim, dark, bleak looking game. You can be bright and colorful. And I think that's getting to the point where you and I are kind of like, man, that might be a little too bright for me.
Yeah, it hurts my eye. It's like it's an overload on it for me. And I already have horrible eyes. Audience, you don't know, but it took me like three takes to get through that blurb.
I mean, hey man, it all comes with age. Plus, there's so much crap on the screen nowadays for no reason. Like, back in the day, all you needed was your ammo count and your HP, maybe. And that's all you, and maybe a mini map. That's all you needed. Now they have so much crap on the screen. It's like, bro, I don't know what I'm supposed to even look at now.
We're sounding like a bunch of boomer gamers. Just like, you know, back in my day,
Back in my day,
gaming was so much better.
It was so much easier to see back then.
Oh, what did you say? Like, all we needed was an ammo count and to be able to see our gun.
Ammo count and maybe, yeah. And maybe your HP and a mini map. That's all you needed.
Yeah.
You don't need the rest of this goofy shit you kids have nowadays where your guns create holographic anime girls that sings to you. What?
These damn crossovers are getting out of control, man.
Yeah, and that's not for anybody who hasn't been playing Call of Duty. That was not a joke. That's actually a real gun in the game.
Oh, I believed you. That's the sad part. I believed you.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not joking. There is a gun in the game that you can purchase. And I hate to say it, but yeah, you have to purchase it with real money to where you clink your guns together. Because I think it's a dual wielding. It's a Kimbo weapon. And you clack them together. And this hologram picture of an anime girl comes out. And she starts singing a song and making a little heart with her fingers. And it's like, this is Call of Duty now. This is okay. Whatever. I'm not playing it. I'm not buying the stuff. But if you like it, good on you. But yeah, I'm not joking, people. Look it up. That's a real thing in Call of Duty now.
Yeah, and to talk about PUBG here, it's not like PUBG is impervious to this. Fortnite does it. PUBG does it. Call of Duty does it.
See, the thing is, Fortnite was always like that, so they kind of get away with it, unfortunately.
Yeah, they can get away with it. And also, because of the art style, I think they could do more crossovers and stuff, and it feels a little more natural compared to PUBG and Call of Duty games like that, to where whenever I see Homelander running around with a gun, I'm just like...
It just looks goofy.
Yeah, for one, because it's Homelander, and why does he need a gun? And two, I'm just going... Why? How have we gotten here? I remember playing Call of Duty 4 and World at War, the OG Black Ops games. And I think back to that time and I go, man, I could have never imagined that all these years later they would have these crazy crossovers with celebrities and all these movie tie-ins. And it's gotten out of hand. All right, that's all I'm saying. It's gotten out of hand.
Yeah. Yeah, for celebrities, they have done plenty with Snoop Dogg before. They had him voice and stuff. And they in their live action trailers, they got celebrities and stuff to do it.
Yeah.
And they even got celebrities as some of the characters in
Ice
the game.
Cube was Bowman in Black Ops 1.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't remember that.
He did pretty good.
I didn't really play Black Ops. Oh, snaps. But gaming has changed a lot. And speaking of changes, Sea of Thieves is currently the most pre-ordered game on PlayStation. Sea of Thieves is, as it stands right now at this recording, one of four previous Xbox console exclusive games that will be coming to other consoles. Those four games are, as I already mentioned, Sea of Thieves, Pentiment, Hi-Fi Rush, and Grounded. There were a lot of questions about Xbox brand long-term and uncertainty of exclusive long-term. There were also a lot of questions about whether or not the decision to release these four games on PlayStation and the Nintendo Switch would be successful for the Xbox brand. We won't have the answers to those questions for a while, but their strategy is looking good so far, at least when it comes to Sea of Thieves. Currently, Sea of Thieves is the number one pre-ordered game on the PlayStation Network, beating out the likes of Star Wars Battlefront The Collection, Dragon's Dogma 2, and MLB The Show 24. Showing that Rare's pirate adventure may be due for a huge resurgence when the game launches on April 30th for the PlayStation 5. Taylor, does this surprise you? Are you kind of surprised that Sea of Thieves is doing so well on PlayStation despite all the nonsense that PlayStation and Xbox fans go up against each other about?
Yeah, when you put it that way. The console wars are stupid. But I'm kind of surprised that it's as popular as it is. But at the same time, Rare has done a great job with Sea of Thieves. And this does feel like, to me, a culmination of Rare's work on the game and continuing to improve the game to the point to where, yeah, it's coming out on a new platform and people are genuinely excited to buy the game. Like, years ago when the game first came out for Xbox, there was a lot of talk of, yeah, this game's going to die out. There's nothing to do. Like, it's one of those make-your-own-fun kind of games. And to see what it's become, man, You know, good on them, really. And I think it's a little different than the usual, like, good on them for fixing their game. And then people could always go, well, it should have been good in the first place. I think with Sea of Thieves, it's a little different because the problem with Sea of Thieves wasn't that it was broken. It's that it just needed...
kind of boring.
Yeah, it just needed a little more. It needed about one more year in the oven in regards to adding stuff to the game. I think it would have been more well-received. Instead of it became more like what you were saying, just, people either really liked it or they found it boring.
And I was one of those people who just was bored to tears by it when it first launched. I was like, there's absolutely nothing to do. And I was like, oh, it's one of those make your own fun kind of games. Screw this, I'm out, because I'm not playing with friends. If I was playing with friends, I think Sea of Thieves would have been a lot better, because obviously that was a game made for you and some pals to
get together
after work and get and drink and stream it and just have fun with it. Now, if you're solo like me, you're not going to have fun with it as much because, one, there's grifters, and two, there's nothing really to do by yourself. So, well, at least at launch. It's definitely a community game, like you were saying. With it going to PlayStation and getting even more players to come in, I don't know, growing that community is what live service games need. So, I'm completely okay with Sea of Thieves coming to PlayStation and PC and Nintendo Switch and the next Nintendo system, a Stream Deck or what have you, because that's how games like Sea of Thieves survive. They survive on a big community. Alrighty, as for our next story and our last one of the episode, what horror video game deserves the live action treatment? And this is a Nerdstats feature. In our last story of the day, we're taking some cues from the Nerdstats. Taylor was looking through some features across various gaming sites looking for a fun final topic to end on. He came across a list of articles from the Nerdstats from Taylor Mansfield called 5 Horror Games That Deserve a Live Action Treatment. We don't want to get into the specifics, but we recommend checking out the piece for yourself. Taylor Mansfield has some solid picks here, and so Taylor, is there anything you want to point out from the article before we move on?
I think you navigated that pretty well, considering we both had the same name. But Dead Space is a pick on this list here, and I think that is a home run. And I will also say, I'm going to spoil 2 picks. I'll leave a link. I think Dead Space is a home run pick for this, and I think Little Nightmares would kill in terms of just a live-action movie. Honestly, I think it might just be better off like how it is in animation form. But I think if you somehow manage to pull it off live action wise, this is one of those to where I think it could be a franchise. That's how creepy that Little Nightmares franchise is.
Really?
Yeah. But and Dead Space, of course, it's the classic one everybody talks about, right?
Yeah, I could see that being a 2 or 3 season show. No, it could be more than that, depending on how long you can stretch the first 3 games.
You know, I was thinking movie for Dead Space, but as soon as you said a TV show, and also because I prefer TV shows to movies, I'm in. I'm into that. I'm not even into horror like that, but I think that's a good idea, because I think you can kind of stretch it out and it'll feel a little bit different. Because of the comparisons people would make if you made Dead Space, people would automatically go, so it was just aliens. So if you made a TV show instead, I feel like at least you have a little bit more of a buffer there too.
Right. And plus, like the lore for Dead Space is pretty vast. So you have plenty to work with.
Yeah, and I think it would also feel different too with Isaac's the main character's name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Isaac being the main protagonist and pretty much isolated for good chunks. So
for a good chunk of it, yeah.
I think that might be
that'd be the problem with Hollywood. Oh no, our main character's in a horror setting all by himself. How are we going to make him more human?
Yeah, I think you can overcomplicate it definitely there, but I think there was something pretty interesting about having that main character pretty much by himself for the majority. I'm not saying like don't have him interact with anybody, but
yeah, physically no, but it, him it gives being you that lonely feeling in yeah space.
Letting him be isolated, I think, gives the audience that feeling like you're isolated with him, you know.
Yeah, and that's what made it kind of horrible. It's like, because you know there's nothing but monsters there with you. Not even humans, just straight up monsters. And even when the zero gravity section happens, they can jump off walls towards you. It's like, well, so even when I'm using my jetpack, my space pack, I'm not safe.
Well, let's just get into it, Michael. What horror video game do you think is worthy of the live action treatment? And to make this as simple as possible, so we don't have to come up with a whole lot of rules here. Yeah, you could talk about games that have already been adapted or plan to be adapted in live action form. So you can pretty much just double down on something if you want to.
Now, see, for anybody who has never watched the show, I'm a little bitch when it comes to horror. Okay. I don't play horror games, but if I got a chance to make something out of any of the franchises, it'll be Fear. I absolutely loved Fear, and it was one of my favorite games back on the Xbox 360, PS3 version. I think I had the 360 version, and it was just one of those games that was so magnificent that they got it right. They got it even better in Fear 2, but then dropped the ball in Fear 3. So if I got a chance to kind of produce a horror game turned to a movie, it would definitely be Fear, because you can kind of, 'cause it'd be a challenge to kind of balance out the whole action-packed sequences along with hallucinations and the horror aspects. Because, man, have you ever played Fear?
I think I've told this story before on the podcast. When I was, I think I was in fifth or sixth grade, Fear 2 came out. And I was playing Fear 2. And I got to a part where I fell in a swimming pool. I think it was a swimming pool. And when I got out, that little girl was there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As soon as that happened, like, that was the first, like, big freaking jump scare that I played. And I didn't say anything. I was in a party with other people at the time. I didn't say a word.
Ooh.
I hit the dashboard button. I exited to the homepage. I turned my Xbox off. And I walked away. Like, it scared me that bad, or I was just no screaming or anything. Nice. Just like, all right, and I am done for a while. I will be on later. Except I just didn't tell
just
anybody.
Just dipped out.
Yeah, I just dipped out.
All right, that's cool, man. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, Fear and Fear 2 is great. Fear 3, not so much.
But for me, I'm going to go with... This is going to be a funny one. This is already... I think this has been adapted before. Not very well, but I'm going with Dead Rising.
No, I don't think anybody's done... I think they've done like a live
there's
action
been
short.
Like, I think there's
advertise.
Been like TV movies or like C-list movies that have adapted Dead Rising. I don't think there's been like a actual Hollywood budget, let's put something behind it, Dead Rising adaptation. Michael, you might want to look on IMDb for this, because I honestly...
I'm second guessing myself.
I'm pretty sure there's been an adaptation of Dead Rising before. But besides the point, let me get into my pitch here. Dead Rising, I feel like, would work as a completely cheesy television show. Think about, like, kind of what we were talking about with Dead Space, to where you isolate the main character. To where the character isn't fully isolated. He's surrounded by zombies. He's surrounded by survivors every now and then. But every episode could be him finding a psychopath in the mall, saving survivors, bringing them back, and all in this 7-day time span before that he gets rescued. I feel like the story is crazy, it's cheesy, but man, I think it would be a whole lot of fun if you put it on like Amazon Prime, put it in the same kind of the blood, more so like The Boys, you know, where it's like, it's so overwhelming that it's a bit comical. I think that's where it would really thrive, is something like Amazon Prime.
Yeah, you know, I can see that. Also, I found what you were talking about. Yeah, no, they had two of them.
They got two adaptations out?
Two.
Props to the people who made those movies. I can't believe you got two of them. Because I remember seeing the poster for the first one, and I was like, I'm not watching that. It does not look good.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying, though. I think if you get somebody like Amazon to pour a little bit of money into it, you have some blood that is kind of like The Boys, to where, again, it feels more comedic. You get somebody who is very likable to play Frank, who is, you know, somebody the audience can attach themselves to and be like, okay, this is our guy. He is just going to get into these crazy situations every week and find these psychopaths, have to kill them, save the survivors. I think you can get, what, about 10, 12 episodes? At least for the first game.
The first one was called Dead Rising Watchtower. Came out in 2015, and it's about 2 hours long.
And you're talking about now the C-level movies that I brought up earlier. I was saying the TV show, I feel like you can get 10 episodes out of it.
Oh, no, TV show, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but yeah, somebody did it. Somebody did it twice. You could watch it right now on Pluto and Tubi. And also the next one was called Dead Rising Endgame, which came out to Crackle.
All right, now. What are we doing?
It came out in 2016, so they wasted no time doing a sequel.
I wouldn't have either. I would have just milked the hell out of that while you could.
Hold on. I gotta see if this is actually like part of Dead Rising.
I like how you've given no actual analysis on my pitch here. You're just enthralled.
I'm sorry,
that
man.
They've made two.
I did not know they did this.
You're giving like, this movie more of a shout out, more press than it's probably gotten in years.
I'm sorry, but like it's just that Taylor, I am absolutely infatuated with this because I didn't know they had one. When you brought that up, I was like, Taylor, what are you talking about, man? They never made Dead Rising. And I loved the first two Dead Rising games. Dead Rising 3 was okay, and I didn't really care for 4. But Dead Rising 1 and 2 was just amazing. So for me to miss out on these classical movies, these classics, it's just, I'm ashamed of myself now, Taylor.
I got nothing to say to you. I'm giving you gold here, Jerry.
Yeah, you are.
And you were spitting back in my face.
I'm not spitting in your face, man. I'm just saying, like, you brought up something that I didn't know existed. So, you know, hey,
you're going to watch this. As soon as this episode is over, you're going to go find it and watch both movies. I'm going to get a text from you on Discord at about, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're going to be like, dude, those movies were really dumb. But I watched them both.
Taylor, I wanted to do a special retrospect on these movies.
I'm not sure I can.
Hey, you're the one who said you wanted Dead Rising to be adapted. You know,
I gotta watch what they did before to see what not to do.
To what not to do. Yeah, there you go.
Watch, by the way. I'm talking so much shit about these two movies I haven't seen. Watch if I ever did see them. I would be like, you know, they weren't half bad. And we're not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, it's not as bad as I thought. Yeah, see, that's what you're going to go with. You're like, yeah, they weren't as bad. They weren't great, but they weren't as bad.
No, I'm feeling it'd be pretty bad. Oh, man. But are you ready to get out of here, man?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Oh, man. So, Taylor, what are you working on? Where can we find you?
Not working on too much. You can find me in our Discord, the link for which is in the description of this episode.
As for me, I am working on my Twitch stream. I'm still trying to get it to where I have a set schedule. I'm really bad with my scheduling, but I'm going to try and do a little better on that. And you can also find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/foxdaddy. That's F0XDADDY. You can also find me on X, aka Twitter, at M_MOSLEY_JR. Alrighty, Taylor, is there anything else that you would like to tell the people before we get out of here?
Be sure to check out thenerdstash.com for all sorts of news in the world of gaming, movies, television, and so much more. We got lists, as you could tell by our last story, guides, opinion pieces, reviews, you name it, we got it over at thenerdstash.com. Be sure, if you enjoyed this episode, we got other podcasts, Nerds Talk Movies, we got Long Box Hunters, two exceptional podcasts. Well, we're above average. I'll say above average podcasts. And you should definitely check them out. And I think that's about it. Unless you got anything.
No, that's all I have too. So with that said, Taylor, thank you for joining me as always. And for everyone else, whether this is your first time or your 1,000th time or your 6 billionth time listening to us, we really appreciate you listening. Also, if you listen to us that much, you must really love the sound of my voice. So I thank you all for that. Ooh, and with that said, we are out of here. We will see you all next week.